You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello once again to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, everybody. It's episode 45. It's May. May 1st already, as if you couldn't tell by it warming up outside, at least here in dreary Austin, Texas today. It's like it might rain, but it doesn't, so it's just going to be cloudy. It's going to rain this week, maybe. I don't know. I hope everybody's doing all right. If you are sober, I hope you are continuing to be sober. If you are not, I hope you are continuing to be somewhat sane. I'm doing all right. I'm having a good week, sure. I always record this on Wednesday, and it's always the day three of my 3 days off, and then I work 4 days. So, my week begins with my days off. So yeah, it's been nice. I'll talk about that in a second. About the movies. I'm not the smartest person. I like to think that I'm pretty smart. And for the most part, yeah, I'm perceptive. My awareness is peak due to being this goddamn sober. Which can be kind of a pain in the ass because if there's a lot of background noise and a lot of people talking in the back, I can't tune them out, which can lead to me being frustrated with people and the stupid shit that they say a lot. You try to tune them out and then you just hear somebody go, somebody say something just random, like, I don't get Bob Dylan, or just something dumb, and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's not, you just some kind of thing that you hear, and you're just like, oh, people in their 20s are so stupid, which is just a blanket statement and incorrect. Naive, ignorant, yes, not all of them. A lot of you are. I was very, very stupid in my 20s. I like to think I got wiser in my 30s, but did I, though? Heroin addiction. So, I don't know. So, who am I to judge? Well, I'm bored. So, I like to judge some. What was I saying? Yes. So, I do dumb things sometimes. Or I'm dumb in that I don't do things that I should. Short story long, it took me till this episode to finally put this podcast on Spotify. So I'm going to get a bunch of new listeners. This may be, I don't know if they're going to back, pile on the old episodes, make them available on, I added this podcast to Spotify and to Google Play. So I don't know how that works, if they're going to do the back catalog or not. Who knows? I don't know how that works. I don't know how a lot of things work. Like the government. But regardless, there's a good chance a lot of people are going to start with this one because it's the newest one. I don't know. Well, and if that's you, welcome. I think Spotify sucks, but I'm not going to hold you personally responsible for the fact that you use Spotify. I think that they pay their artists shit. And I didn't put my album on Spotify because fuck them, I thought. And so I didn't think to put the podcast on there. And then it occurred to me, oh, wait, this fucker's free anyway. And Spotify is the number two app that people listen to podcasts on, number one being iTunes. So welcome, ? So I finally did that. So we'll see if that increases my listenership, if that's a word. Let me see if that's a word. It is. It is, in fact, a word. I did not make that up. It came from a place that was not my brain. Anyway, so Sunday night I watched the episode of Game of Thrones, which is the big battle. And that was, and if you haven't, if you've seen it, but you haven't seen the video of the making of it, dude, you should watch how much shit they went through to make that episode. It's crazy. It's like weeks and weeks of shooting and all the preparations. It was bonkers. So, I mean, it's an amazing achievement that got made and at that level. So I watched that, and that was intense. Like almost 90 minutes of intensity. And then on Monday, I watched Infinity War for the first time, which is on Netflix. So I watched that, and then I went to see Endgame in the theater. Now, the reason that I watched those two, that I waited months to watch Infinity War, because I hate cliffhangers a lot, really do. And it stems from the fact that when I was 6 years old, the person that I loved the most in the world was taken from me. That person was apparently frozen in carbonite, and then a bounty hunter took them to Jabba the Hutt. See, I didn't understand cliffhangers. I was six. And Empire, it ruined my summer in 1980. And I didn't understand it. My parents didn't really understand it because they weren't really huge fans. They were exhausted mentally from raising a six-year-old and a two-year-old at the same time. So they didn't really give me answers, I guess. So it kind of fucked me up watching Empire Strikes Back. I didn't know what to think. And I just, it really bothered me for a while, and I don't think I recovered until the very next year when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, and then I'm like, oh, there he is. Han Solo has a whip now and a cool hat. I should get a hat like that. And because of Indiana Jones, he brought back the fedora for a while, so I guess that's who we blame. But, yeah. So because of that, because that was the thing, is that you have to understand, they didn't release trailers for Star Wars movies. So we didn't get any kind of hints or whatever. They didn't release hardly any footage, not like they do now. They didn't release any footage, and I had to wait 3 fucking years to find out what happened to Han Solo. 3. That's some bullshit. That's just unbelievable that you had to wait that long. But I did. So I don't like, I can't deal with cliffhangers. I don't like them. It makes me angry when TV shows do that. You know, I really got into shows as a kid. And I think that's why I liked watching Simon and Simon and the A-Team and Magnum P.I. when I was growing up, is because for the most part, they wrap that shit up in one episode. Every once in a while, it would be, to be continued, and everyone would go, oh, fuck you. It would just be, you're like, nah, fine. So it's the one advantage of the binge watching phenomenon, in Netflix and the different apps, is that if you hate cliffhangers like I do, you can just wait the season out. And I'm like, no, I'll wait till the end and then I'll watch them all. But the thing about it is that the exceptions are shows like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad. I had to watch that every week when it came out. Game of Thrones is the same way. It's just one of those things that I'm not that invested in Game of Thrones. I just think it's neat But I can tell you this. Okay, so yeah, so that's why I did. I watched the two Avengers movies. You know, like, I'm like going, dude, I'm not, you know, I, you know, yeah, I found out about what happened before even seeing it, but I'm not going to, you know, watch it because I don't give a shit about spoilers. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but me personally, don't care. If somebody, you can't spoil a movie for me. Really, I don't like uncertainty. I'd rather know certain things and then just watch it and experience it. But it depends on the movie, I guess. But yeah, so I totally. So after 5.5 hours of Avengers, I can safely say that I'm done with superhero movies for a while. You know what? I'm done with action. I'm like, I can't. I don't want to see any more action. Like, I'm going to watch like comedy and indie bullshit for like a while. I don't want to see any more fighting. I don't want to see anything for, I thought, you know, in my head, I'm like going, look, it's going to be at least a month before I can watch any kind of fucking action, man. Sunday and Monday, I've got my fill. I'm, you know, give me a headache. I'm exhausted. And then I remembered that John Wick 3 is coming out in like 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, I'll see that. All right. Yeah. So no action for 2 weeks, but yeah, I will see John Wick 3 because of course I am. Of course I am. But for the most part, not a fan of cliffhangers. Han Solo was your favorite guy, so I guess you didn't like the new Star Wars movies? No, I didn't. I did not. I hated that they focused so much on Jedi bullshit. You know, space ninjas and magic. I don't know. I want Han Solo, and I want space pirates. That's what I want. Firefly, Cowboy Bebop, and Han fucking Solo. You know, do you like Star Trek? No, I liked Captain Kirk. Apparently, I'm a huge fan of arrogance. Team Arrogance, baby. Tony Stark, Doctor Strange, Captain Kirk, and Han Solo. Here we go. So, you know what I like? I don't know if anybody... No, I know a lot of people do because I've seen the number of views of the videos that I watch. I watch a lot of reaction videos. And that's a weird phenomenon that I've been caught up in, which is basically people, you're watching people watch things. Like there's a couple dudes, their channel's like Frankenstein's Lab or whatever, and it's just these dudes and they're high. But they're watching, like, they watch old comedy videos, and they, you know, I think it's funny because they watched Bert Kreischer, and like Kreischer has had them featured on his, he's had them on his podcast. And so now you've got, there's a video podcast, the Bert Kreischer episode with the Frankenstein's Labs guys. And they're, so you're watching a video of them watching a video of those guys watching Bert, which is very meta. And it's that's just ridiculous. But I think, the deal is, so I think the reason that they're so popular, because you'll watch people react to, like, for example, this week's episode of Game of Thrones, or you have people who are reacting who never saw Breaking Bad, so they start going through the episode. So now you get to watch these people experience Breaking Bad for the first time. Or, you know, listening to music that they've never heard before. And there's a lot of now, and because of the success of that, now you've got people who are trying to monetize and take advantage of it. So now you have, like, because there's genuine reaction videos, and you can tell there's people that genuinely react to stuff, and they're fun to watch. And then there's people that it's manufactured reacting, like overreacting to stuff because maybe this will get them more views. And it's just ridiculous. The idea that it's artificial reacting to things that they've obviously either seen before or knew what was coming, or like total setup, and it's just bullshit. It kind of reminds me of like I like. It's why I like the, you know, and well, the reason that I know why I, the reason that I like the reaction, some of these reaction videos is because I feed off of emotions of people that I'm watching. You know, I empathize with them. And so it's interesting to, so you feed off of their energy and their excitement and it gets you excited. And it's the same reason that I watch, NBC, the Voice. I watch The Voice because I like to, even though I know it's bullshit and it doesn't really make anybody's career, the fact that they think it does, you know, it's like when you watch auditions, you know, it's, and people get excited about them being, you know, doing well in front of, you know, that the judges like them and stuff. And the problem with the success of those shows, you know, America's Got Talent and stuff like that, because there was the video, the Paul Potts on like the first Britain's Got Talent, who is this dumpy looking, you know, dude who's just like, oh, I want to sing opera. And he was like really good. And then you know, like it freaked, it like shocked everybody. They're like, holy shit, this guy's great. So since that, you can tell that shows like manufacture that now and completely ruins the you know, everybody's like, whoa, this person who was shy all of a sudden is really great. Like, it's way too obvious. But I don't know, I always like watch the always liked watching like some of the older seasons. Like the newer seasons now of The Voice are just ridiculous and hard to even watch anymore because they're trying to manufacture emotional moments, you know, and it's, and they probably did that in the older seasons too, but it was less obvious so you could fool yourself. And also you're feeding, you know, I enjoy the families of the contestants just going nuts because they're, you know, they're like, oh my God, it's going to, you know, it's going to happen, even though it's not going to happen, but that doesn't matter. You know, the optimism, just the optimism, you feed off of that and it, it makes you feel good. It's when I want to feel things, and it's why I like those kind of videos, I think. But this goes into, that actually goes into a thing that I've touched on, several episodes because it's always with me, which is control issues. And I think a lot of people deal with them this kind. This is not just exclusive to, you know, ex-junkie, alcoholic, drug addict people, sober people, you know, or people in quote unquote recovery. I think a lot of people deal with it, and it has to do with, you know, and it's all connected. It has to do with why I don't like cliffhangers, why I will watch those kind of videos, but only, you know, if I'm, you know, only when I feel like watching those videos, because I'm making the decision to watch it to feel things. And it's all, and that's even connected to why I can't, if I'm going to a comedy open mic and somebody new's going up, that makes me uncomfortable and I walk around, I pace around, or I have to go outside because I, you know, because it makes me anxious when they're not doing well, or the, you know, you don't know if they're going to do well, and that just, it makes me uncomfortable. And that's all connected to one thing, which is that I like to feel things, but only when I want to. And that's that control issue shit, where I like to be numb. I like to just, I like everything just, you know, the boat not rocking. I like it all just, let's just do stuff. Don't give me stress. Don't surprise me. I don't like surprises, because you know, because it's uncertainty. And the problem with that is that I have my habits and I have my patterns that I like, you know, I like to go do this. This is when I like to, you know, I like to record, you know, I record this podcast every Wednesday. I get groceries on Wednesdays. I do, you know, I only like eating at a few places that I'm, you know, used to. I would prefer to watch a movie that I've already seen rather than go see a new one and take a risk on it. You know, because of, and it's all like control issue bullshit. And the problem with that is that if you're avoiding uncertainty, you're not growing. You're not trying new things. And, you know, and because you'd rather be comfortable. And sometimes when you're comfortable, you will settle for things that aren't healthy for you. That's why people will stay in their same job, even if they hate it, because it's what they know. You know, it's instead of taking a risk at something, because it's just easier, because the uncertainty is, you know, it's fear. You're afraid of the unknown, and that keeps you from doing stuff. Which is why it's, you know, when I was single, it was a lot easier just to keep in my patterns. And I had a reason at first, which was, you know, I'm staying sober and I'm trying my new lifestyle. And this is, you know, I'm protecting myself. This is, you know, we're trying to get better, blah, 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 or whatever. I'm trying to get used to who I am now. You know, slowly but surely, I'm going to get out there. And but then it was very easy just to stay in my patterns and not branch out, not, you know, I'm not going to deal with new stuff. I don't want to do new stuff. I'm tired. I'm older, whatever. But at least now with my girlfriend, you know, it's because of who I am, it's really easy to let, I don't get a whole lot of new ideas. Like, you know what I want to do? I want to do this. I've never done this. I don't do that. But I let her do that. She's like, we should do this. We should go out and try this thing out. And initially I'll fight it. Vocally I'll fight it, or I'll fight it in my head and then catch myself. So it, you know, either it, sometimes it comes out, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm doing better in trying to make myself available for new experiences, because being aware of my control issues and of this kind of bullshit allows me to go, oh, I'm doing that thing. I'm doing that thing that I do. Yes, I will see that art film that I think that I won't like. And you know what? I end up liking it. I will try that restaurant. Ah, French food? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know, you know, very rarely, because the other thing is that, you know, my girlfriend and I have been together almost 2 years. So it's like, she knows what I don't like. So she has an idea of like, you know what, this may actually be good for you. You know, you may actually like this. Or this sounds fun. And I go, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Let's do it. And I, you know, and I've yet to hate something. You know, I may go, eh, but I've yet to go, this is bullshit. Just because, yeah. And so it's good. I think, I don't know if any of you deal with that, but I think it's definitely good to try new things. It's great when you're aware of it, because awareness doesn't fix shit, but it allows you, it puts you in a position to make the decision to move forward when you go, that's right. I like to feel only when I want to. I like to feel things only when I want. So, yeah. So anyway, that's been my week, I guess. And that's been the podcast, huh? How about that shit? We're at the end of another week. So thank you guys for joining me. Remember, you can email me with any questions or anything sobriety related or whatever at stillsoberpod@gmail.com. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later. Let's ride.